God, as we wrap up this series, as you teach us to rediscover you as Father and how knowing you as Father affects the way we look at ourselves, and knowing you as Father changes the way we look at church and we look at the people around us, I pray today that you would release the heart of David, that we would adopt the heart of David and be ones that honor, be ones that call out the greatness in others, even when they don't deserve it. We love you. We honor you. I pray that no foolish word would be remembered from me, but that only the words of your Spirit would echo throughout the week and eternity. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this month we've been talking about when we rediscover God as Father, when we see him as the good and the perfect Father, we start to see church differently. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about church is not just an institution. Church is not just a fellowship. Church is not just a club. Church is not just a self-help clinic. Church is family. And we talk about church not just being church, but being our house. And in a house, there are sons and daughters, which makes you and I, even though we might be different skin color, even though my eyes might be smaller than yours, even though you might be better looking than I am, we are all brothers and sisters, right? And so we talked about that last Sunday. Pastor Sunny talked about inheritance, that too many people go in and out of the doors of church without really receiving an inheritance from that church, receiving an inheritance from the leaders, receiving an inheritance from that house. And so many people come and go without really receiving what the house has to offer. And so she talked about how when we come to church, when we come to a family, we're not just serving an organization or an institution, we're serving our inheritance. And so when you come to a house and you decide to stick around, and you decide to commit, and you decide to be taught by the leaders and receive the words and the teachings of the house, you receive an inheritance of that house for yourself. Well, today, we're going to talk about honor. You see, honor is the key to receiving our inheritance in a house. Honor is the key to receiving everything that God has in this church for you. Honor is the key. Now, I have this really cool definition of honor that I found, and I think it's one of my favorite definitions, and it says this: honor is recognizing who a person is without stumbling over who they are not. That is tweet-a-bull, right? I'm going to say it again. Honor is recognizing who a person is without stumbling over who they are not. Honor is treating someone according to who they truly are. But how many of y'all know that we don't really do that in the church, do we? Oftentimes, the way we treat one another is what we see in the flesh, or what we see on the outside, or by someone's mistakes, or by someone's quirks and annoying habits. Sometimes the way that someone talks just annoys me so much. Sometimes, why can't this person just be honorable and noble? Why can't this person be generous? Why can't this person be the way that I want them to be? But honor is treating a person according to who they truly are, without stumbling over who they are not. Now, there are two things that we can draw from this text that I want you to write down. The first is this: what does honor do? Honor activates anointing. Look to your neighbor and say, honor activates anointing. How many of you guys know that every single believer, every single Christian, every single believer carries an anointing from God? Every single one, even I want you to think about, and I know you think about this sometimes, the weakest Christian you know. Come on, right now in your mind, I just want you to think about the person that you know when they go home, they just Netflixing and chilling by themselves. They ain't doing no Bible reading. They ain't praying. They ain't worshiping. They ain't meditating throughout the week. They come to church on Sunday, then they're out the door right when church ends. I want you to think about that person that you feel like is just a baby, weak Christian. How many of you guys know that from the most mature to the least mature, every single believer carries an anointing from God? The problem is we often don't treat people as if they do. Let me ask you something. If an anointed man, let's think. How many of you guys know who Bill Johnson is, for example?
right? Bill Johnson. Okay, forget that. How about someone like Chris Tomlin, okay? Chris Tomlin, anointed worship leader. If he came in through those doors, there's clearly an anointing on his life for worship. How many guys would want to receive prayer or words or something from him? You see, when we see someone as anointed and we see that they carry an anointing, all of a sudden we treat them a little differently, don't we? All of a sudden our hearts are open to receiving from them. All of a sudden we're postured in a way that we humble ourselves and we want to receive what you got. But the problem is, even though every single one of y'all anointed, sometimes we don't treat each other as if we are. See, believers tend to have their gaze fixed on super Christians. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Super Christians, the anointed preacher, the sexy worship leader, the prophetic minister who just knows all, can read all of your mail. Oftentimes, we fix our gaze on these super Christians and we think, man, with them, I'll honor them so that I could receive something from them. But I believe what God is calling us to do as a church, as a family, is to see every single member as significant, every single person as an anointed gift from God. Every single person has something to give to us. Question is, have we learned to honor those without a title, right? Have we learned to honor those? Do we honor those who don't seem super spiritual? Who, you know, there's those people during worship, they ain't lifting their hands. They clearly must not be spiritual, right? Do we judge people that way? Or do we judge people based on what we see? Or do we see people in the spirit? This is what God is asking to get today. Do you truly believe that the person sitting next to you has anointing to transform the world? Do you believe the person sitting next to you has anointing to transform this city? Do you believe the person sitting next to you has anointing to bless this church? Do you have faith that the person sitting next to you has anointing to bless you, to set you free? That's what we're going after. Now, I don't know what you guys were like growing up, but when I was growing up, I did not know the way of honor. And so a great example is I would go to all these Christian conferences, okay? And these amazing men and women of God would be preaching the gospel, praying for people. And I remember I would go to these gatherings, and you know, at the end, they always do an altar call. Well, there was a problem with the altar call for me because the anointed preacher was there on stage farthest away from me, and there was a line, a wall of other Christians that are going to pray for people that I need to get over to get to that guy. How many of you guys have ever been there? You've been to a conference or retreat, and they say it's altar time, it's prayer time, and then they have leaders or pastors standing up here in the front, almost like guarding the main speaker. Well, I remember as a kid, I used to see this, and I used to think, I need to get these people out of my way so that I could get to the really anointed guy. And so I would be very strategic. You know, there would be people lining up behind. And so when I saw that no one was being prayed for by this guy, if someone was behind me, I'd be like, okay, you could go ahead. Go, you get prayed for. And then until every single person was filled, so no one was there to pray for me, then I could step by the wall and go straight to the anointed preacher. How many guys, am I the only one that used to do that? I used to, at the end of the conference or the retreat or whatever it was, I used to always go for the speaker, for the one that seemed the most spiritual, the most anointed. And that might be extreme, but how many guys know in church we do that all the time? There are people that are overlooked. There are people that are never activated in their anointing because we don't see them and we don't honor them. You know, we have a sister church, not really a sister church, more like a cousin church in Korea, and they're called New Philadelphia. They're an amazing church. Well, I remember I was visiting Korea one summer, and after service, I wanted to go get prayed for by their head pastor, Pastor Christian. But I remember I was stopped by this little, tiny, meek-looking girl, and she was so tiny and so frail. I felt like if I breathed, she would blow over. That's how frail she was. And I remember she said in the most quiet voice, she said, can I pray for you? And I was like, I'm trying to. But I didn't have it. I felt like I would crush her, literally crush her soul if I said no. And so out of the kindness of my heart, I said, sure. Really, though, in my heart, I had no expectation for anything. I was looking straight at Pastor Christian, and she was just in my way. Well, I kid you not. All of a sudden, she lays her hand on my shoulder. And I swear, she opened her mouth, and it's like a lion. I'm right in front of a lion, and a lion is just roaring in my face. All my hair is blown back. My eyelashes are ripping off my face. Like, I swear, when she started speaking, she was like, "The Lord says that you are anointed, mighty man." And she started prophesying and praying. She started reading all of my junk, explaining exactly to me what I was going through that season. And then she started speaking words of encouragement. Tears were streaming down my eyes. This person that I had no expectation for, this person who looked like a tiny, frail person that I would just blow over with the breath. All of a sudden, she opens her mouth and she starts speaking life into me and marked me, moved me, and changed me. You see, if we had a culture of honor, I wouldn't look past this one and look to Pastor Christian. I would see that every single person has something that I need. How many of you guys know that every single thing you need in life, you can find in the body of Christ? You can find in every single, when if God has called you to be a part of this house, a part of this church, or whatever church you go to, everything that you need can be found within the people of the house. Because God oftentimes releases your breakthroughs through the people around you to show you that you can't do it alone. See, honor says God's anointing isn't just over the speaker or the worship leader. Honor says his anointing is over you. And his anointing is over you. His anointing is over you and you. His anointing is over you. And I need you. Honor says, even if you're standing next to someone like Pastor Benjamin, can you imagine if Pastor Benjamin was here and one of you were here? Honor says that there is no difference who I go to. Honor says that I have an open heart to receive from you. How many of you guys know the church is full of transformers? You guys watch that cartoon, Transformers, More Than Meets the Eye. There are transformers in the church. People that you wouldn't expect have an anointing from the Lord. People that you wouldn't expect have anything significant to give. But I want you to know that it takes people who carry honor to draw those things out. Now, I want you to think about this. The title of this message is Gold Digger. Okay? Honor is calling out the gold in others. If you would imagine every single person like a field, and within that field, there's a bunch of buried treasure, and that treasure is gold, that's what we are to one another. And so now when I look at Justin, I know that there is a pot of gold somewhere in there, probably around right here. There's a pot of gold. And what honor is, it's drawing out that gold from inside of Justin, so that not only he could be aware of what he's got, but all of a sudden I join in on the riches of what he's drawing out. See, honor unlocks things in people that they never knew was there. Now, I'll give you a great example. I've preached many times here, but I've also preached in many other places. And there's a clear difference when I preach somewhere where people look at me and they think, he's really young, or he's not as good as last year's speaker, or he's too funny, he doesn't really preach from the Bible, yes I do, or things like that. Versus, man, God sent this man here, and I am gonna open my heart to receive every single thing that he has to give. Well, I'll tell you, one time I was preaching in Cambodia at a Filipino church, so random. Somehow I found my way to a Filipino church in Cambodia, and I have never experienced honor like I felt there. I mean, from the moment I walked through the doors, people were just honoring me in such a way where they are posturing themselves to receive. And let me tell you, I was a young kid at the time. That was back in 2011. This is like my third time preaching at a church, but they treated me as if I was like a veteran. Like, I'd preach many times. They treated me like I was Reinhard Bonnke or like John Piper. I swear, like, they had so much openness to receive from me. And I tell you what, as soon as I started preaching, I have never preached better than I preached at that church. And I started saying things that I didn't even know was in my heart. I started speaking in ways that started making people cry, like tears streaming down their face. I never told a funnier joke than when I was in that Filipino church in Cambodia. Like, there was just an openness in the atmosphere, and I felt like things were being drawn out of me. It's like the honor was drawing out all the anointing out of me. All the honor was drawing out all this gold. And as it's coming out, I'm like, whoa, I didn't even know that was in me. Okay, whoa. All these things were being drawn out. Why? Because there was a people who honored me, who wanted to receive from what I got. You see, when we honor one another, all of a sudden you realize, oh, shoot, I didn't know I had this. I didn't know there was this gold inside of me. I didn't know there was this gift on my life. I didn't know this anointing was there. When we learn to honor one another, we begin to draw out the gold in one another. You know, whenever I go to preach, my favorite is when I preach for children's conferences. And I'll tell you why. Because 9 out of 10 times, God didn't send me to preach to the children. He sent me there to minister to the counselors. And 9 out of 10 times, I swear, I go to this place and I'm preaching to the kids. And I see in the back that all the counselors are just crying. And they're like on their knees, repenting. Well, I remember one specific retreat. We were in Jersey. And these counselors, you know, let me say this. There is no junior Holy Spirit, right? For children, there's just as much power that they can experience, that much more presence that they could experience. You know, we don't have to water it down for them. But I remember at this church specifically, they must have had a shortage of volunteers because they chose anyone to be counselors. And so all these counselors were here, but I could tell they didn't really want to be there. They were just kind of serving and helping. They had no expectation that they could pour out something upon these children. Well, I remember one day, I said, we're doing an altar call tonight, and I'm not going to lay a hand on a single kid, but every single one of you leaders, you're going to start praying, and you're going to start prophesying over these kids. And I remember all of them, throughout the whole week, they'd kind of been apathetic, but right when I said that, they were like, no. And you could see the fear welling up in their eyes. You could see that they didn't really believe they had anything to give. And they're like, I don't even know what is prophesy? Like, I don't even know how to pray for these. I can't even pray for myself. But I said, no, when we do altar time, you're going to lay your hands on your kids. And you're going to believe that God is going to speak through you. I kid you not. 100% of the teachers during altar time, they started praying for their kids. And they surprised themselves. I mean, God surprised them. Like, I'm talking about the most backslidden Christian ain't ever prayed or prophesied in his life. All of a sudden, he's praying over this kid. It's like, I just sense God's love is all over you. I just sense that you feel like you're alone and you're afraid. These teachers who had no expectation that they had anything to pour out upon these children, all of a sudden, they began to see gold being drawn out of them. Why? It's because honor. Because honor. Because I wouldn't accept that they are just the way they see themselves. But I knew that there was gold on the inside of them. Church, can we be a church that knows that there's gold inside every single one here? Gold in every single person that needs to be drawn out. The reality is, the problem is, sometimes we don't see the gold. All we see is the dirt. Can I get an amen? Sometimes we don't see the gold, and all we can see is the dirt covering it. One of my second overseas mission trip to Kazakhstan, I will not say any names, but what they did is they broke us up into little groups and we had to go into different villages it was crazy. We broke up into teams of four and they would drop us off in the village and drive away. And with no money, and we had to find a place to sleep that night and survive until the morning where they picked us up. And they did that, number one, to test our faith. Number two, probably because it was entertaining. But number three, because they wanted us to make contact with the families there organically. There ain't nothing organic about that. Anyway, so they dropped us off. And I remember in our team, there was one person on our team that just, you know that one person that no one really likes to be around? Well, there was that one person in our team that just, for whatever reason, no one likes to be around. It's like no one hated this person. But it's just like, I'd rather not be around this person. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Am I just unholy here? Okay. And I remember that she was on our team. And I remember the way that our team treated her was like, yeah, I don't really want to be close to you. Let's just do our thing, but let's keep distance. And I remember as that culture was perpetuating in our little group, all of a sudden you could sense that even in her heart, she started reserving even a little more and more and more. And all of a sudden there was this chasm, there was this divide between the rest of our team and this girl. And I realized something. When you constantly and continually call out the dirt in someone, that person eventually gets treated like dirt. When you see that this person is just annoying, or this person, I don't want to be around him, or this person causes trouble, this person too much drama, all of a sudden, when you can only see the dirt and you only call out the dirt, even when you talk about that person, all of a sudden, you don't realize, but you start treating that person like dirt. And when you start treating someone like dirt, all of a sudden, that person believes they're nothing but dirt. You see, some people just need to hear that they're more than dirt. Some people just need to hear that you're not just dirt. You are gold. There is gold on the inside of you. I wonder if those who are treated like dirt, those when people look at them and see there's no anointing, there's nothing on their lives, if someone would just go up to that person and say, no, there's something on the inside of you, I wonder how much that person would be transformed. See, some people just need to hear that they're more than dirt. Some people need to hear that they got gold on the inside of them. I love this definition. Honor is seeing someone at the finish line with the gold in their hands and treating them like winners. It's as if you've looked way into the future, into eternity, and you see this person at the finish line in their glorified, perfected self, celebrating with God, popping the champagne, holding the gold up, and you all of a sudden you see a person that way and you treat them like they're winners. That is what honor is. No, you guys know that Krista and I, we got married a year and a half ago. Well, Krista is an amazing, cleanly person. I mean, she is one of the best cleaners that I know, and I am not, okay? And so oftentimes we get into arguments because I am a lot messier than Krista is. But Krista does this thing, and she does it really well. Some people might call it manipulation, but I don't call it manipulation. We've noticed in our relationship one thing, that if Krista wants me to behave or act a certain way, what doesn't work is criticizing me or telling me what I'm doing wrong or getting upset at me. That doesn't change anything. If anything, that just causes me to fear in my heart and it causes a chasm between us. But what Krista does really well, for example, if I have not taken out the trash consistently that month, instead of Krista saying, "Why haven't you taken out the trash, you filthy man?" Instead of saying that, what Krista would do is, when I do take out the trash, even if I missed taking out the trash once or twice that month, she'll say, "Wow, you're so amazing. You're such a good husband. Thank you so much for taking out." And all of a sudden, I swear, I'm like a dog. I'm like, yeah, I am a good husband. And it makes me feel like, man, I'm doing a great job. I am a good husband. And I take out the trash, and all of a sudden, throughout that month, now I'm inspired. Like, ooh, I want to take out the trash again. Why? Because I'm a good husband. Yesterday morning, Krista's been asking for like a year and a half since we got married. One of my favorite things is getting served breakfast in bed. And so this Saturday, finally, a year and a half later, I've been studying Krista. I've been reading recipe books this whole year and a half. I haven't been sitting on my butt. I've been studying how to make the best breakfast ever. And so this morning, I started making the breakfast, and I thought I was being really sneaky, but she told me that she heard from the moment that I put something on the pan, because it was like, she's like, I knew from that moment. And I cooked her breakfast, but I'll never forget, throughout the whole day, Krista kept saying, "Oh my God, you're an amazing husband. Thank you so much for cooking me breakfast." All, like, not even just once, but like seriously every other hour. She'd be like, "You're such a good husband. Remember when you made me breakfast this morning?" And what happened in my heart is all of a sudden, I started being filled with joy, and I started thinking, I am a good husband. And you know what? I swear, after the day was over, I thought to myself, I'm going to do this more than just once every year and a half. I'm going to be careful not to make promises I can't keep over the microphone. What am I getting at? It's much more effective to speak to someone who someone is than speak to what they're not doing. If you really want to see change, if you want to see every single member in this community change, we have to start calling out the gold instead of throwing dirt over them. And What I notice, actually, I'll get this out later. Let's go to the text, 1 Samuel 24. Now, I love this text because David, you have to understand, had every right to kill Saul. David had every reason imaginable to want to kill Saul. But I love that David did something instead. David honored Saul, even though there was nothing honorable about him. I want you to think about this. And so even when his men said, this is the day, like this is the moment, David, you've been running around, you've been hiding in caves, you've been eating God knows what, your life is miserable, you're always on the run, you're always looking over your shoulder, and you were meant to be king, and you know it. And all that stands between you and your destiny is this wicked man, Saul. This dishonorable man who's supposed to be your king, who you fought battles for, who you've led victories for, who you pour out into day and night. You deserve better, and all you have to do is get rid of this guy. He's just a roadblock. But I love that David, he says, no, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay a hand on him, for he is anointed of the Lord. What did David do? David, instead of looking at the dirt that Saul was, because Lord knows he had problems, all he saw when he looked at Saul was, this is God's anointed, and I have no right to lay a hand on God's anointed. I want you to think, have you ever had someone treat you like Saul treated David? I haven't. Even in this situation, David had every right to just look at Saul and just see the dirt. But even in the midst of his greatest pain, he looked at Saul and saw gold. David acknowledged Saul as God's anointed. And not only did he see Saul as God's anointed, he treated Saul like God's anointed. He didn't kill him. All his problems could have been solved if he killed him, but he chose not to. See, honor doesn't stop with seeing someone in the spirit. Honor takes it a step further. It causes you not only to see a person in the spirit, not only to see a person as they are, but to treat them as they are. And that is so powerful. What if church in this church, we started with every single person, we knew there was an anointing on them, and we would start activating that. We would start activating people's generosity. We would start activating people's prayers. We'd start activating people for wisdom and counsel. See, it's one thing to say or think flattering things about someone else, but it's another to humble yourself enough to treat them like royalty, like you can actually receive from them. You know, one of the most memorable moments of my life was at last year's Lineage Retreat. This year is coming up August 25th, 27th. Sign up now. But last year at Lineage, we did something special during the last day. They had all the pastors come up to the front. And they had people in their congregation come up and just pray for them. And so I remember Krista and I, this is right before we launched San Francisco. I remember Krista and I, we were standing up there in the front just receiving prayer. And we received so much powerful prayer from some of you guys. But I remember there was one moment where we're closing our eyes just receiving. And both Krista and I felt something at our feet. And we looked at each other and we looked down. And it was Isaac and Sana. And what they were doing is they were prostrating themselves. And they were bowing at our feet. And they started praying for us. And I'm getting a little emotional right now, but I was crying a lot more during that time. Like, I was bawling. Chris and I were looking at each other. There's tears in our eyes. And the reason why I was so impactful is because we hadn't even led them yet. We hadn't even pastored them. We hadn't counseled them. We hadn't done anything for them. There was no reason why we would deserve this kind of honor. But they came up to us, and they humbled themselves at our feet. Man, my feet were stinky that day. I tell you what, I'm sorry, Isaac. But they humbled themselves. They got down on the floor, and they were praying at our feet. Not because we deserved it. Not because we did anything to welcome that. But just because they honored. And I'll tell you what, that moment marked me and Krista. It really did, Isaac, Sana. That moment marked us. Because that moment really made us believe, maybe we can do this. Maybe we can pastor this church. Because I tell you, up until that moment, every lie from hell was trying to attack us saying, you're not good enough, or you can't do this. But that one moment of honor, all of a sudden,
we realize that there is gold on the inside of us. The second thing that honor does, the first one was honor activates anointing, and this is the last one. Honor unlocks inheritance. How many of you guys know that honor is for your benefit? I know a lot of times when we think, when I honor someone, it's actually just for them, but there's actually a benefit for you when you honor someone. Like I told you about me and Krista, when she honors me as her husband for cleaning really well, when she honors me and shares that I'm a good husband, all of a sudden, there is a benefit to her. Do you catch my drift? She honors me as a husband, even though sometimes I don't always deserve it. And all of a sudden, I start acting like a good husband. And she directly benefits from it. She has a cleaner house. She gets breakfast in bed every few months. Like, there is a benefit. When you draw out gold in the community, you're all rich together. I want you to think about that. If you draw out gold in this community, if people are drawing out gold left and right, all of a sudden this community, this entire community gets richer. How many of you guys know that when you honor the person that comes up here to speak by saying things like, come on and amen? No, those aren't just flattering words. There's actually something that happens where it gets drawn out, where all of a sudden the preacher says, oh, that was a good word. I heard that, come on. And now all of a sudden the preacher starts preaching better. All of a sudden, when someone's leading worship and the congregation honors that worship leader and actually engages in worship in such an extravagant way, all of a sudden the worship leader thinks, man, God is really moving. And they realize who they are. The congregation benefits. See, when you honor those in your community, you benefit from it. Honor unlocks inheritance. How many of you guys know there are breakthroughs for you that are wrapped up in the people around you? There are breakthroughs that you've been longing, contending for by yourself that's wrapped up in the person to your left and your right. There's destiny, parts of your destiny that's wrapped up in the people around you. There's freedom, there's healing, there's strength, there's power that's wrapped up in the people around you. And honor is the thing that unlocks that. Honor is the thing that unlocks your inheritance in this house. In the most practical sense, what that means is inviting people into your life. Seeing people as anointings and blessings from God that you invite into your life. It means asking people for prayer instead of going through it alone. It means seeking counsel and wisdom instead of trying to figure it out on your own. It means humbling yourself enough before others to even be corrected. It means believing there's anointing in the people around you that you need to tap into. Church, do you believe that? Do you believe that the person to your left and your right has something that you need? We're going to wrap up with a few stories. I remember that when I was fresh out of college, I pursued 100% with my time and my energy a music career. And I remember that year in 2011, I put out my first album. I was performing around these different places. But it was ultimately a bust. Because I did not make enough money, not nearly enough money to support myself. I just felt like I was hitting walls. I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. But I remember at that time, I wasn't really going consistent. I was very much in love with Jesus, but I wasn't consistently committed to a church. And I remember Pastor Benjamin, that's when I was kind of going on and off at Living Hope. And I remember Pastor Benjamin sat me down, and he looked me in my eyes, and he said, son, what are you doing? I said, Pops, what do you mean? He's like, you know, if you would just honor what's on this house and make it a point to be back on Sunday, like, I promise you, there's just so much that God is going to release over your life. And I thought to myself, but usually my gigs are on Saturdays. Usually they're out of, like, for me to get back and be here Sunday morning, like, you don't know what that'll take. Like, how much more money it'll cost, how much more energy it would take. He's like, trust me. If you would honor the inheritance of this house and be present enough to receive it, like you just watch, God will unlock your inheritance. And so it took everything in me, but I made a decision from that moment forward. Number one, whenever I have a show, I'm going to get Pastor Benjamin's thoughts on it just because I want to hear what he thinks about it. Number two, I would be back every Sunday, no matter what, to be there to receive the teaching and my inheritance and be around the community. Well, I remember that right when I started doing that, like, so many shows had to be canceled because they couldn't fly me back. And everything in my life looked like the opposite. Like, I was going back, like, man, this is, I guess this is just the price I have to pay.
But a few months later, I'll never forget, all of a sudden, I'm getting all of these emails, people inviting me to come out. And all of a sudden, I kid you not, it tripled the amount that I got to travel. I got to go to places like IHOP Kansas City and perform with like Laura Hackett, Matt Gilman, all these people. Like all of a sudden, God started opening these doors. I got to meet these legends in hip hop that were these Korean college rappers, Lyrics and Manifest. Like it was my dream to meet them. All of a sudden, I was going on tour to Asia and to different parts. Like all of a sudden, God started opening these doors. Why? Because I honored the inheritance of the house. I honored Pastor Benjamin's feedback. I asked him, I invited him into that part of my life, and he was able to pray, counsel, and lead me. See, there's something happened. Honor unlocks inheritance. There are parts of your destiny that will be unlocked if you would just learn to honor. I want to close, and if we could have Connie come up and play something pretty. I want to close with this story. Honestly, if we could be completely honest, Krista and I, when we were starting Sons and Daughters, we had very little faith in ourselves. If I could be real honest, we were very insecure, we were very unsure, we were very unconfident about leading this congregation. And I remember that one of my biggest fears is that not only are we taking people that are younger than us, but we're actually taking a bunch of our peers, like our friends, and we're supposed to lead them and pastor them. And not only are we taking like our peers and our friends, we're taking people that are older than us. Not only are we taking people that are, we're taking people who have years and years of life experience more than we do. We have people like Ian, who has just so much life and so much wisdom, and we're supposed to pastor them. We take people like Curtis and Cassandra, who had been married 2 years longer than us, and we're supposed to pour into their marriage. But I remember there was one moment. See, Pastor Vern and Larry Ann, I was actually the most worried about pastoring them, because not only are they fathers and mothers, but they grandfather and grandmother. Like, they have decades of life experience more than us. Not only that, but they're just so gifted from hearing from God. They're two of the most solid believers that I know. And one of my biggest fears was, how are we supposed to pour into and lead this man and this woman? Like, they're older than us. They have so much more experience, in some ways, so much more anointing. But I tell you what, out of every single person that came with us, no one has honored us more than Pastor Vern and Larry Ann. And I remember there was the story that Pastor Vern always tells. He says when he came to Living Hope and he met Pastor Benjamin, all of a sudden, there was a crisis in his life during that time, but he met Pastor Benjamin at that moment in his life, and Pastor Benjamin was able to speak into him and lead him out of that crisis. And I remember Pastor Vern would always tell this story, and he'd always go up to PB and say, you know what? Who would have known that when you were a little boy, when you were a little tiny infant, that when I was a man going through crisis and going through life, there was this little infant that God was raising up. And you know what? God was raising you up for me. In fact, God brought you into this world for me, because he knew that when you would grow up 30 years, 35 years, there would be a moment in my life where I would need to hear the words that you were going to speak, where I would need to receive the prayers that you were going to pray. And even Pastor Vern, in that moment, he said, when I was about to just give up on life and let the Lord take me away, it was Pastor Benjamin who looked at me with so much faith and said, you will not die. You will not die, but you will live. And Pastor Vern said, I believed him. And he's here. He came with us. See, he honored Pastor Benjamin that way. But I was still really insecure about it. But I'll never forget, there was a sermon that I preached a few months ago. And during the sermon, I guess I threw up a baby picture of myself. And I remember at the end of service, you know, we were just praying for people. And Pastor Vern comes up to me, and he grabs Pastor Benjamin too. And he tells the story again about Pastor Benjamin. And then he looks at me, and I'll never forget, because as a pastor and as a man, as a son of God, it marked me. He looked straight at me, and he started breaking down and crying. And so obviously, I start breaking down crying. I didn't even know what was going on, but we were just crying together, three grown men, Pastor Benjamin, Pastor Vernon, and me. He said, Mickey, when I saw that picture when you were a little boy, you know, I was 30 years old. I was your age right now when you were that little. And I would have never known that as a 30-year-old man, that that little boy, that God was raising him up so that he could pastor me. That God was raising up that little boy to be there for me in a way where I needed. God was raising up that little boy, and that little boy is you. And we're just crying together. And I remember Pastor Vern said, I give you full authority to just speak into my life and to lead me. And I thought to myself, this is honor that I don't deserve. I don't know how to lead you. I don't even know how to lead myself. But all of a sudden, Pastor Vern honored me in a way that activated a pastoral anointing. He honored me in such a way where three grown men are in the middle of this club and with a disco ball spinning that's in tears, breaking down. I tell you, that moment marked me because Pastor Vern, though honor was not deserving, chose to honor me. Let me tell you something. Honor, it is what's going to transform this community. Honor is what's going to make this place from just an institution or a club or a feel-good self-help clinic. Honor is what's going to make this place thrive. This place where anyone could walk in with dirt all over their lives, not knowing that they're good for anything, not knowing that they're anointed for anything. Honor is the thing that when someone like that walks through this door, all of a sudden, they realize I'm not just dirt, but I got gold on the inside of me. And there's a people here that's willing to bring it out, to draw it out. And listen, I don't know about you, but I thank God for the people in my life that didn't just criticize me for the wrong things I was doing, didn't just criticize me for the man that I wasn't. But I thank God that there was people in my life that were able to see past the dirt and say, this is more than you. You are gold. There is gold on the inside of you. There is anointing on the inside of you. Listen, I am not where I am today because of myself. I'm where I am today because people dug the gold out of me. And the question I want to ask you is this. Do you want to be a house full of gold diggers? Full of people that's willing to see beyond the dirt and dig out the gold? Are you ready to be a community? Because I tell you, when that happens, all of a sudden we just get richer and richer and richer. We get richer, and I'm not just talking monetary wealth. I'm talking in the spirit. We get richer. We get richer. We get wealthier, and we have more to give to this world now because we've learned to draw out the gold from one another. I want to end with this. There's a very practical way that you can live this out, and it starts this week. I need to give you homework, and so this is your homework. This week, I want you not just to honor someone in your life, but I want you to treat them like what you see. And so here's an example. Some of y'all, you need breakthrough in your life. You just need to go to your CG leader, and you need to ask them to pray for you. Or you just need to seek wisdom and counsel from them. Some of y'all, you need to come up to Pastor Vern after this service and ask him to lay his hands on you and release blessing and breakthrough over you. Some of you need to come to Krista and I and not just see us as your friends, not just see us as, you know, people who run the organization here, but know that we have something to pour into you. Some of you, you need to go to your friend that you honestly just see as dirt, and you need to start drawing gold out of them. And how do you do that? I'll tell you what. The most humbling thing you can do is to go up to someone that you see no value in. Humble yourself to a place where you say, I need something from you. Can you pray for me? There's nothing more powerful than that. I tell you what, not only does it transform that person, but it releases breakthrough over you. This week, choose someone to honor and pursue them with honor in such a way where you open up your heart and you posture yourself to receive from them. Honor unlocks inheritance. Honor activates anointing. And I believe that we're going to be a church that has a culture of honor so strong that when people come in, all of a sudden, gold comes out. Would you close your eyes with me? God, I just thank you for these people. I just thank you for every single one. And I just speak to every single one that they are significant. Every single one that they are valuable. Every single one that they are more than dirt, that they are gold. Even right now, Lord, would you break the chains of self-criticism and self-judgment and self-hatred. I pray, number one, that we begin to see that there's gold on the inside of us. I also pray, Lord Jesus, that you would break off the eyes and the lens of judgment, and we learn to see ourselves and see one another in the Spirit. Would you break any negative or false views that we have with one another? And I pray that we would be a people that learn to honor instead of criticize, honor instead of break down. We'd be a people that could draw out the gold from one another. Just thank you for your presence.